Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan is here. Rob Centers, our fabulous producer. We appreciate his help and hard work and everything he does. Matt Catrillo's over in the newsroom. And so all is at the ready for today's show.
We need a town crier. It's 8:30 and all's well.
I think you just did it.
All right.
Fabulous. So what does all's well? Let's see how traffic's doing in Northumberland. We had a gum up earlier. We had a 20-minute delay.
Not a gum up, oh.
Can you imagine waiting 20 minutes on Duke Street? That's silly. I mean, not silly, but that's an awful situation.
That's a long time.
And you really can't get out of that. If you want to go south under the underpass and continue south on 11, I mean, you can pop over to Queen Street, but that gets gummed up, too, with all the traffic volume. And the biggest dilemma on Queen Street is there's a lot of people, and you'll appreciate this because you have people that make an illegal turn in Shamokin Dam that irritates you.
I do.
There's people that make an illegal crossover onto another section of Queen Street, but while they wait for traffic to clear, people who are trying to make the legal turn have to wait 5 minutes to get to the stop sign so they can do a legal maneuver. So everybody has to wait for the illegal folks to get going. So, in any event, all of this led to some mini gridlock over in Northumberland. 20-minute delay was what Google Traffic was calling it at the peak of that this morning. But that's all clear now, just a short wait in Northumberland.
So where'd all the people go who are waiting?
Their destination, or they pulled into a nearby parking lot and they gave up.
They gave up. I suspect that's what's happened.
They're at the Sunoco having coffee, waiting for traffic to clear. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. We would just love to hear from you. We are following, and we'll have a link for a live broadcast at WKOK.com of the impeachment hearings. Now, we're not going to do all 96 hours on WKOK, but you'll be able to link to the CBS News live broadcast of that, the online version of that at WKOK.com. We'll put that in plain sight. We'll put that link out on Twitter and Facebook, and we'll text connect it so you can link right to it so you don't have to search around to find the CBS live link if you want to follow the impeachment.
So it's a big day, right? We're finally getting the impeachment stuff rolling out into the open.
What would be so inconceivable if they would just vote and get it over with? They already know from their secret testimonies that they think they have sufficient evidence to support the impeachment, what do you call the document?
Articles of
impeachment.
Yes,
thank you. Me and my constitution, we
get a little trouble.
So well. But, from those, the closed-door session, do you have to have a public inquiry in order to draft the inquiry?
Well, I don't think it's ever been done entirely behind closed doors. In fact, usually, I think the fact that this was done even in part behind closed doors is unusual. If you're trying to make a criminal case, I view the Congress as being like the grand jury. They're the ones responsible for hearing the evidence and deciding whether or not it amounts to an impeachable offense. Now, we can't share whether or not we agree with their conclusion if we don't hear the evidence they've heard. So, in fact, this looks to me staged managed. They have all these people they heard behind closed doors. Now they're going to trot them out into the public, and hopefully they will repeat their testimony accurately and not, commit any acts of perjury or lie or anything?
Well, and up until now, this hasn't bothered me about the fact that it was behind closed doors. I thought, it'll all come out. But what Senator Casey was talking about, and he was in Sunbury yesterday, folks, what Senator Casey was talking about yesterday is that there are people who testified behind closed doors who said things that could either not support the articles of impeachment or just downright refute them, and you will not hear from them. They won't be summoned by Democrats. They can be summoned
Senator
by Republicans.
Senator Casey said that?
Well, he had a wide range of things to say about this. Well, he's following this like a juror does, you know, trying
but
to
he's
stay...
But supported. He supported
right.
The...
No, he definitely supports it. He's not disagreeing with it. But he's just saying that the Democrats will be calling individuals who were in the closed-door session that... this isn't really an opinion. This is just a statement of fact.
Right.
Democrats will call people that support the articles of impeachment, and Republicans will try but won't always be successful to summon people that might exonerate the president.
But if the Democrats are aware of testimony that calls into question the veracity of the claims, don't they have, as truth seekers, an obligation to present that information too? It's called exculpatory evidence.
That's a knee slapper, Joe.
What is?
Why on earth?
But exculpatory evidence should be presented as well as though you should present both sides fairly.
Well, that's in a courtroom.
Let people make a decision.
But that's only in a courtroom.
But this is a courtroom.
No, this is the biggest courtroom
in the country.
It's a hearing. It's just a hearing. It doesn't follow the rules
of criminal
procedure.
Oh, so in other words, a hearing, you only want to present the bad stuff about the person being accused. You don't want to give them any good stuff.
Right. Well, that's true. You said
and that's
it.
Justice? That's
said,
is that what passes for justice in Marktopia?
Well, in a political... No, I didn't come up with this system. I told you before, I don't think the president has committed an impeachable offense. I think he's a buffoon of a human being, and he should keep his mouth shut, and a lot of other things I could say about him. But impeachable because of Ukraine, that I don't see that there. But maybe I'm wrong. I certainly have read tons on it, and I see precisely where... You know, they say that's a form of extortion and all this. Okay, that's fine. I get that. Impeachable? It just doesn't seem that way to me.
I've had a lot of respect for Senator Casey over the years, and I like him, and I've never voted against him, even though
he's trying to be an
politically
objective juror
we don't agree with much. But I think if he thinks it's okay not to present evidence that goes both ways,
let me phrase this
then
again.
I think that's terribly wrong, and I've lost some respect for him.
Okay, well, if you feel that way, I've misstated or you misheard. He said this is what is going to happen. As an objective viewer, he is saying this is what humans in the U.S. are going to see, that Democrats will call people that they know from the secret testimony will support the impeachment. Republicans will call individuals that they know. And as an objective viewer, he didn't say he was happy or unhappy with the fact that they
but
will.
But the way you phrased it initially, you said he was aware of testimony that tended to exonerate the president and believed that the Democrats weren't going to present it.
That I definitely misstated.
Well, then I apologize for that my respect for Senator Casey is intact.
He is definitely aware that he knows the House Democrats are going to summon people primarily that he knows supports the impeachment, and they are not going to summon individuals that they know are not going to, and he knows Republicans are going to. His whole point, and we're getting this secondhand.
Well, basically, that's kind of common sense,
right.
I would suspect.
Well, okay, but I'm just saying what he said. And just as an objective viewer, he's pointing out that there are going to be times when the Republicans may not get that individual up because there's a screening process for that. And again, all of this is in the House. He's a second-party viewer also, and plus this is coming to us third-party.
What we haven't heard yet is how many of the Republican requests for testimony have been honored and how many will not be honored. You know, I don't think they wanted Hunter Biden to testify. But, you know, if you don't find something odd about the son of a vice president being offered a very lucrative job in a field he knows nothing about, a little questionable, then I believe you are, you know, a believer in the Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny and all the other good things.
Chris, thank you so much for calling early on in the program. You're on the mark.
Well, you said something that was crazy, so, but I guess you semi-corrected yourself while I was on the line.
Okay.
I don't think if there was exculpatory evidence, then the Republicans are perfectly able to call them. And I think if the reason there weren't any Republican leaks, as Joe points out, was because there was nothing the Republicans wanted to leak.
Chris, you will admit that the Republicans can't call those witnesses if they aren't approved by Chairman Schiff. Those are the terms.
I will admit that, but I think anybody who has relevant information will be passed, and the things that they might not allow, the only two probably are Hunter Biden, because he has nothing to say, he has no knowledge of anything that's relevant, and
he doesn't know about the corruption in the Ukraine and the Burisma?
The original whistleblower.
He doesn't know about the corruption in Burisma? He was on the board.
Yeah, but I mean, you're just calling him blind to stir up a different issue.
Well, that's exactly
the corruption in Burisma really doesn't have much to do with anything.
But it does.
If
the whole issue of Ukrainian corruption, the whole issue of Ukrainian corruption is central to this whole thing.
Yeah, but there's the three agencies involved all said that they were doing a good job at improving it.
What three agencies?
And if the corruption is kind of a phony issue, because what Trump was asking for was an announcement of an investigation into the Bidens, and that would have satisfied them that the corruption was being taken care of.
Wasn't he actually?
They should start an investigation or assign it to somebody, but they should publicly announce it. And
right.
Then all is good.
But wasn't he actually trying to determine whether or not, and every time someone in the media says this, they say debunked, but wasn't he really trying to find out whether the Ukrainians had some part in trying to mess up the 2016 election?
Yeah, if you believe in tooth fairies.
Well, apparently the Democrats do. I might as well.
That wasn't what he was asking for at all.
He didn't say dig up illegal dirt, or make up stuff about Joe Biden. He asked whether there was anything there.
No, he just made an announcement that you're investigating Biden and Clinton.
Okay. So today there was an announcement in Harrisburg that Governor Wolf's being investigated. Is there something wrong with that?
For leveraging U.S. taxpayer money to get something that you want as a political advantage in your reelection, yes, if that was the reason they're investigating the governor, then yeah, there is something wrong with that.
Well,
and if that's how they're causing the investigation to start,
I saw it talking.
There
I saw
something
it.
Very wrong. This was to affect the U.S. election, and it was leveraging tax money paid for and voted on by Congress, and I think signed by the president, to go there.
But, Chris, there was no quid and there was no pro. Let me explain it to you. You asked me a question. Let me explain it to you. The money was delivered to the Ukrainians, and no investigation was launched. There was no quid, there was no pro quo.
Okay, can I reply to that now?
Sure.
Okay. There was no investigation launched because it was 2 days before they were actually planning to announce the investigation, which they had finally decided to do. The whistleblower report came in, and it became publicly known that that's what they were trying to do. So they backed off it. Just because you ask for a bribe and then the deal falls through doesn't mean you didn't attempt bribery, which is just the same as bribing.
Well, I differ with you there.
Joe, that's, ask a lawyer. Ask any lawyer that. You'll get that answer.
Well, let me put it to you this way. They got their money, and no investigation was launched. So to me, it's no harm, no foul. It's certainly not impeachable.
No harm, no foul, that they were using that, and they think it's a legitimate way to act, and they defend it.
They learned their lesson.
Going to do it again, therefore?
President Trump came right out in the open and said, admitted that he had the conversation. He gave you not a transcript, but a summary.
And he denied what's in the conversation.
Well, he denied that he tied anything to a specific action.
And then you're like one of those people running around with read the transcript when there wasn't a transcript.
I don't call it a transcript. I call it a memo.
Yes, I know you do, but that's not what the president called.
Well, you said I was running around. I'm not running around doing that.
I said you were running around like they were.
Oh, okay.
refusing it, and I don't know where. I thought all the transcripts were released
of the testimony
now,
behind closed doors.
Yes.
I don't think all of them.
I don't think all of them have been either. No, I don't think so.
No, just select ones.
I'm not too sure about that.
Okay, but check it out.
Find one that testified. Who was testifying? The Republicans know everyone who testified.
Right, they know everything. They're not uninformed.
Whose testimony was not released. See if you can do that.
Okay. We're on it.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Chris.
We're all over it.
Yesterday you said about 3 years of investigations. There weren't 3 years of investigations. The Democrats only didn't have any investigations for the first 2 years.
I think that must have been one of our callers. I don't think either Mark or I said that.
Yeah, I don't know anything about the time frame.
No, I don't either.
I think you repeated it after the caller did, though.
Just to clarify.
It may have been restating his case, but I don't know how much investigation time there was.
But if the Republicans had been doing their job and actually investigating this, keeping a lid on the president, but they were afraid to investigate anything about the president. And we're refusing to, and they had control of all the investigative committees.
Yeah. Not unlike the Democrats in the Clinton years.
How long did Clinton have the House of Representatives?
The first 2 years?
4 years or 2 years?
I think it was four, wasn't it? The first four, I think, memory serves me. But in any event, we digress. Hey, thanks, Chris. We got another caller coming in, so we got to roll. Thank you for calling.
Okay, but it is a crime.
Okay, got
if you
it.
Say
and it
so,
does
Chris.
Affect the election. That's really bad.
From your mouth to God's ear, Chris.
Well,
thank
no,
you.
he's right. It's extortion. It's election tampering. It should be a
blah blah blah. Blah.
Thank you.
Yeah, blah. You don't care about that. It's
you're right.
A Republican
blah blah
right,
blah.
Joe.
Same
as
old,
as
same 401k.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
Take care,
he
Chris.
Does it. That's just the way Trump is.
Take care,
right?
Chris. Have a good one.
Bye.
All right,
1-800-795-9565. It's impeachment day. We'd love your opinion. 1-800-795-9565.
Sounds like a festival. It's impeachment day.
Ooh,
hola,
yes.
let's roll out the barrel.
Right, we're going to have peaches. Everybody's going to enjoy a peach today. 1-800-795-9565. You're going to take a peach and put it into your belly. That's called impeachment.
Hey, you, it's time for Sunbury Motors to eat their remaining 2019 Ford leftovers. Choose from over 20 of the hot-selling Ford Escapes for as low as $17,585. Love compact SUVs? Sunbury Motors has the leader of the pack. The 2019 Ford 4x4 EcoSport slashed to just $20,525. SMC would give these away, but they know you'd feel guilty. Take up to $9,000 off new 2019 Ford Edges, up to $10,000 off new Ford 2019 Fusions, and up to an amazing $12,000 off on new 2019 Ford Expeditions. That's a whole lot of amazing. Pick from over 65 new 2019 leftover F-150s with total savings up to $14,750 off MSRP on 4x4 Super Cruise. Feast on Sunbury Motors 2019 Ford leftovers by November 30th before they're all gone. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving all of Central PA for 105 years. Gobble, gobble, hey.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, we'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. Upper right-hand corner, if you would, please, Joe.
All right. What is your policy for how long people are allowed to voice their opinion? And Mark has stated this before. We'll state it again. Usually it's 3 minutes. And if there is no one else in the waiting line, and if you are in the middle of making a point and engaging us, some people call in, they just want to give their opinion and then hang up. Others will challenge us or ask us a question, and then the meter stops running. If you're asking us a question and we're responding, or if there's a give and take back and forth, we'll go a little longer than that. What really will wind up the conversation is when another call or a series of emails or text recommend that we that are on topic, that are on topic, and that we're going to that will add something to the discussion we have underway.
Well, and if you're like Chris, who's spot on as highly informed and genius,
well, he is spotty
liberal. We think that you really need to get,
and I mean that in a nice way,
as much airtime as possible. So
okay,
that's that.
Be that as it may, I mean, as it may, Chris is often wrong, but he's always welcome to call in.
He hasn't been wrong yet, but it could happen someday.
Well, he thinks I'm wrong.
Well, there you go. That speaks highly in his favor. Bobby D., you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Yes. Good morning, everyone. As I open the first pages of the Constitution, of course, I'm reading, like, the Senate shall have the sole power to try all impeachments when sitting for the purpose. They should be like an oath of affirmation. Of course, when the President of the United States is tried, the Chief Justice shall provide and all that. But, I mean, all of this is written in our Constitution.
Right.
So all that's basically happening right now is the first of the procedures have gone through, but now, and they don't necessarily have to, but they're opening up so the public can find out some information. And also from the standpoint of the representatives, they're going to have to vote one way or the other, so I think this is a good process.
So what do you think? The president committed an impeachable offense?
I don't think so.
Why?
Well, of course, it depends what, as far as the procedures and that are written down somewhere.
Well, what
so the lawyers or the legal, I'm going to say the legal system is going to have to figure that out. But in other words, maybe I don't think so because I don't have enough information in front of me.
Right, but you'll be able to watch the hearings, and so you'll check it out. So the election tampering, the extortion,
election
the refusing
not
to
in
honor
there.
Subpoenas, the political activity on company time, violating people's privacy on Twitter, and the violations of the Emoluments Clause. Other than that,
how about some traffic citations? Any of those in there?
Keen.
Right. Also, of course, I was a juror here in Northumberland County, so I was questioned, before I was selected as a juror. So I had to basically weigh all the facts in front of me the day of the trial.
Okay. Have you ever been sued, though? That's when you really know what's happening.
Yes.
Okay. What happened there?
Down in Philadelphia, for an auto accident down in Philadelphia back in the 90s, there was a pain and suffering settlement 2 years later, but then all the paperwork had to be dug up, and through the due process of law, everything was settled out of court. So all I had to do is produce the paperwork, and my car was the one that was damaged, and there was all that sort of thing. But, just because a lawyer gets a client to say, we can get $50,000 from your insurance policy, at this point, I elected full tort coverage for the insurance, which was nationwide at the time. And so they backed me up and said, no, this is our legal process. So I look at these hearings as part of the process.
All right. Yeah, they definitely are. All right. Thank you so much, Bobby.
All right,
appreciate
thank you.
The call. Yep. We'll talk later. All righty. Let's see. One email on the president committing extortion. Let me move that up to Joe's
side. I can read it. Whether there was quid pro quo or, let's call it what it is, extortion is a moot point. The problem here is a president who asked a foreign leader to help him find dirt on a U.S. citizen to give him an advantage in the 2020 election. The withheld millions don't enter into it.
Okay.
Gee, they don't.
Well, I see what he's saying. I mean, it doesn't really matter whether there was any grant money or foreign aid money. The fact is, he sought to influence the U.S. election.
But they are alleging a quid pro quo, that he got something
that's
in exchange for something. There was no quid, there was no quo.
All right. Where did you hear that? Did Fox News tell you that? Listen, if you want to know the truth, read this out loud. This is a news release from U.S. Congressman Fred Keller.
All right. Congressman Fred Keller on Tuesday addressed the start of the public impeachment hearings by making the following statement, and I quote, Democrats are so afraid of a repeat of the disastrous Mueller hearing that they are starting public hearings only after wasting hundreds of hours auditioning witnesses in secret, shutting out the American people and 75% of their elected representatives to Congress. The rehearsed questions and prepared answers the American people will hear this week are nothing short of political theater orchestrated by Nancy Pelosi's impeachment czar, Adam Schiff. These proceedings are not meant to get to the bottom of anything and are merely an attempt to check the box of transparency so House Democrats can continue their three-year-long coup and overturn the will of the people. Enough is enough. It's time for this sham process to end and for Congress to move on to working for the benefit of the American people by passing things like the USMCA, truly bipartisan prescription drug reform, and measures to fully fund our military and take care of our veterans. I agree.
Do you?
I do.
Well, you would.
Particularly the last paragraph. I mean,
there's some other stuff we could be working on.
Yeah, there are other stuff we could be working on. You're absolutely right.
But we're too busy replacing soap operas these days.
Well, let's face it. You know, this is a tasty target for the Democrats. You know,
this could work.
The Republicans impeached Bill Clinton, so we got to get somebody. We got to get a Republican. And so they're going to impeach President Trump, or at least give it their old college try, if you will. And I think when the end comes, I don't think that the majority of the House will even vote for articles of impeachment.
Really?
Not if the hearings are conducted fairly and all the evidence is brought out and the president is given the chance to question the witnesses he wants to question. I mean, if you're going to take the office of President of the United States away from somebody, I still think you've got to be extremely fair, overly fair, if necessary.
Mm-hmm. Is he not given any opportunity to directly testify?
Every witness he wants to call or is to be called on his behalf must be approved by Chairman Schiff.
Right. Yeah, we know that, but they haven't said no to anybody yet.
Well, they haven't said yes to anybody yet either.
Okay, well, I guess the world is ending because it might be.
Well, I think it's important to have a transparent and open process.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. We'll be back with more of our discussion during the 9 a.m. hour. We do have a few other things to talk about. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
And welcome back. We are On the Mark today, the start of impeachment here in the United States of America. And we invite your comments on that topic and any others you wish to express. On the Mark brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at www.sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us at 1-800-795-9565 or email us at onthemark@wkok.com. You can text us at 70236, and for Text Connect members, just reply to a previous message or text us at 70236. As I said, On the Mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Find out lots more about them at www.sunburymotors.com. The Sunbury Motor Company sells Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln cars, and they are the premier service provider for all makes of cars and trucks and all sizes of trucks. They're a master towing service with decades of experience.
Damage-free.
Damage-free? Oh, yeah, okay. They never made a mistake.
I'm sure they
said decades of, right. Well, hey, they know what they're doing.
Amen.
Amen. As opposed to us, who often don't know what we're doing.
That's another topic.
Find them on the web at www.sunburymotors.com. Check out their online specials and build a Ford car or truck to your specifications and click on a coupon for the Works Fuel Saver Package. And now, with the news, here's Mark Lawrence.
A former Sunbury City Clerk was honored at a ceremony in Sunbury Tuesday night. Terry Spake presented the Spreading Antlers Children's Foundation Robert W. Mertz Jr. Community Contributor Award. Spreading Antlers Children's Foundation President Justin Michaels says the award is named for Robert W. Mertz Jr., president of the Sunbury Motor Company.
He consistently always gave back, and he did in multiple different ways throughout our community. A lot of those he did behind the scenes just went unnoticed, and people never realized until his passing how many things that he truly did. And what a better way to he was our first recipient. What a better way to name this after somebody that just inspired us all throughout this community.
State Representative Linda Schlegel-Culver there to present a citation from the State House. Spake was recognized during the ceremony for her work behind the scenes during the decades of Love and Care Street Fair, then the Loving and Caring Street Fair put on by Spreading Antlers. Her work assisting SRI and many many other contributions to the community, all very much appreciated. In welcoming a new face to next year's administration, the Northumberland County Commissioners are hoping for a fresh start. The next County Commissioners Board consists of newcomer Joe Clebon, incumbents Sam Chicatano and Kimberly Best. Best and Chicatano in particular are hoping to start a new era on the right foot. Here's Joe Clebon.
It's not just about me or the other two commissioners. It's about what is best for the county. If we disagree on something, we're going to vote on it, and after the vote's over, it's done. Let's move on to the next issue that we got to take care of.
And he and the fellow commissioners agree there are some big issues to tackle in Northumberland County. As we talked about briefly, the FBI is investigating how Governor Tom Wolf's administration came to issue permits for construction on a multi-billion-dollar pipeline to carry natural gas liquids across Pennsylvania. The Associated Press has learned FBI agents have interviewed current or former state employees in recent weeks about the Mariner East pipelines, according to three people who have direct knowledge of the agents' questions. All three spoke on the condition of anonymity. When permits were approved in 2017, environmental advocacy groups accused the Wolf administration of pushing through the incomplete permits that violated the law. Wolf's administration is declining comment. It has said that in the past, the permits contained strong environmental protections, and it denied forcing the Department of Environmental Protection to issue them. The chief federal prosecutor in Harrisburg, U.S. Attorney David Freed, declined comment. And finally, the family of a sick inmate who died inside the Clinton County Jail 2 years ago claims guards and medical professionals ignored and even ridiculed his distress and documented his agony. A federal lawsuit filed Friday by the mother of 40-year-old Sean Kitchen blames jail officials and medical staff for mishandling what began as a urinary tract infection and led to fatal kidney infection. The lawsuit claims Kitchen exhibited symptoms shortly after being jailed for an alleged probation violation. Within 3 days, he was seen crying in his cell and unable to stand without assistance. It accuses medical and jail staff of responding to his complaints by putting him in a restraint chair and solitary confinement rather than being permitted medical treatment. Lawyers for the defendants declined comment and did not immediately respond.
Sounds like a big one.
Well, yeah, you have to provide medical care for inmates. It's hopelessly expensive, as you might be familiar, but I'll tell you what, you got to do it. And usually counties pay out of cash for this kind of thing. It's hard to buy an insurance company for a transient population in your county jail.
Well, it's almost cruel and unusual punishment to withhold medical care from anybody like that who's obviously exhibiting signs of illness.
Right.
Let alone ridiculing them or making fun of them or putting them in solitary confinement.
Past stories about this have said that the county did offer some medical care, and it was either inadequate or not ever followed through or not provided, but there were some offers for medical care. But beyond that, I don't know.
To whom?
to this individual. But
I can't imagine he would decline them, can you?
Right. By the sounds of it, it sounds pretty painful.
Yeah,
so
it would be. Gee.
So then he died.
Well, that's
so
it.
To be continued, we'll monitor this. That's the beauty of Penn Live. Mr. John Bogie has a hold of this.
Oh, yeah, John.
Like a dog
John's
on a bone.
Hey, John is an ace reporter for sure.
He'll monitor it, keeping governments accountable.
Yep.
And accountants accountable, too, and other people. So we appreciate that. And congratulations to Terry Spake. Really deserved. Of course, I worked with her a little bit when I helped SRI, and she's just a super good egg and just a wonderful asset to the city when she was there. City's in good condition now.
Well-deserved award,
yep.
For sure.
All right, we have
some texts here.
Yep, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We have texts on a couple of slightly different topics. That email that's there and this I left out relate to Heather McDonald, who's coming to the Bucknell campus, and there are some people who say that her views are just too conservative and shouldn't be allowed. She's spoken out against what we would typically refer to as rape culture. I don't think it's a term you've ever really accepted, but on campuses and elsewhere, they talk about the systems where
women
have much less voice and where either rapes are unappointed.
I heard of the Me Too movement. Isn't that?
Well, rape culture has to do with
what's the difference between
women
rape culture and Me Too?
Are sexually assaulted because the whole system is predominantly male. You know, the reporting and enforcement and treatment system is predominantly male.
Does that mean they won't get justice?
That might not get justice or even fair treatment for that matters. Now, I think once you get out of the campus and into a hospital, then you get whatever's the
So you're telling me that our liberal college campuses don't support women who are sexually assaulted? Is that what you're telling me?
Right. So that's the truth, and that's what this speaker has pointed out at other campuses in the past. And guess what? On the Bucknell campus, because she's coming, guess what there is?
A protest?
Right.
No.
It's true.
So let's say, you good old Bucknell students, let's stop free speech. Let's gag people that disagree with us.
Well, and I said to the professor, Alexander Riley, a couple of days ago, that what happened here is simply, there must be somebody that shouldn't be permitted to be on campus. And I don't know who it would be. Somebody that goes there and advocates for the most heinous, worst, terriblest criminal act and advocates and describes it in great detail and is just a horrendous human being.
Advocating violence, I would agree.
There's your polar left, that person shouldn't be allowed on campus to speak.
But to say that to talk about something like this and then someone claiming that you're advocating violence is beyond the pale.
Right. So I said to him in an email, okay, so what you have here is there must be somebody that can't be allowed. What we have here is a disagreement on where that line is, whether that line is where Heather McDonald happens to be standing, the professor that will be visiting, or farther, towards that horrendous person. And to that end, here's what he replied, Joe, in the middle.
All right. It's a refusal of one side even to try to articulate how the speech they don't like fails to meet the requirements, and instead to call names and use moral pressure in the absence of intellectual effort. None of the people who are talking about how awful Heather McDonald's ideas are on this campus have given any evidence that they can accurately summarize her ideas. They just label her with epithets like white nationalist, racist, fascist, and rely on the moral power of the label to define the situation, even when accurate descriptions of her work and ideas are given. Now, that's an extremely well-written and cogent defense.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. He's a super guy for all kinds of free speech.
I'm with him. I agree with him.
Right. And this coincides nicely with what you and I have talked about, the fact that on campuses there's all kinds of talk that's not permitted. The Bucknellian did an article, and I'll try to read this if I can find the right spot. Okay.
All of you just talk among yourselves.
Yeah,
while
I'm
Mark's
sorry about this. I had it called up, and then my phone restarted on its own. So now I can't find it. Well, I'll have to find it later. It doesn't seem to be coming right at the top here.
So what is her argument that they find so offensive?
As I recall from her argument related to the rape culture is that she says, in fact, if you poll women who have been raped and did not come forward, it was not because most of the system is predominantly male and they're afraid to come forward. It's because they did not think the incident was that serious. That's what they said, that it didn't qualify as something where...
So the victim didn't feel victimized?
It's not that he might not have felt victimized. They just didn't think that they should step forward and enact what is probably a pretty extensive campus response system and criminal charges against the perpetrator.
But if they did something wrong, shouldn't they be charged?
Well, you would think so. But that doesn't mean that the victim feels that the system is helpful enough or is responding appropriately.
You're saying two different things. One moment ago, you're saying the victims don't report it because they don't feel
they
it's
don't,
important
right.
enough.
But I think that may go into their decision. I think it's a sort of a global decision as to what they... I mean, there's a wide range of things that go into that decision not to report.
Because she said that, because she reported that bit of research, they think she's a racist, a fascist.
Well, that she supports the rape culture, then, that if she doesn't feel as though that women don't come forward just because they don't think it's serious enough, that doesn't support...
I wonder if these people want to ban the television program Law & Order SVU, which makes a similar point almost every week. Okay. That, there are different reasons why victims don't want to testify, don't want to come forward. Sometimes it's they don't want to make a big deal out of it. Sometimes they don't want to see someone else get hurt. Sometimes they're just afraid of what the system will do to them.
Well,
so, I mean, there's a variety of reasons why someone won't come forward.
And maybe somewhere, somehow in their claim, there is a not a falsehood, but something they exaggerated or whatever, so they don't want it to see it to go much farther.
There was a story not too long ago, I forget, about some woman who...
I'm not saying a woman that was raped did this. I'm just saying on this TV show that may be a justification for not coming forward.
There was a story about a woman who had made charges against men in the past that turned out to be not true, and she was stalking somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think you have an obligation to try and determine what the truth is. But if you find that the woman is credible and she gave, logical testimony, and the man... doesn't deny, well, I guess the man could deny it no matter what, but still, I think there's a way to give the women justice without persecuting someone else, don't you? Unnecessarily or in controversy of the facts.
Well, that is true. And I also think that, you know, no matter how offensive, there's got to be some way that you can find out about this. What if you decide that the Holocaust is just so offensive, just so terrible, that we have to stop teaching it? You know, I mean, it's almost that that's what she's talking about.
Well,
yeah,
there's a difference between that and Holocaust deniers.
Right.
You found the story?
Well, I did, but then I hit the wrong button. And guess where it went? Into the never-nether land. Let's see.
Letting you near a computer appears to be dangerous.
Well, no, it's a smartphone. This is worse. She rejects the existence of rape culture. She rejects the validity of my story, says one student who claims to have been sexually assaulted. Quote, I think it's odd for the administration to pay with one hand for sexual assault training and provide counseling services and advocates for victims, and then with the other hand, pay for someone to come and say that sexual assaults aren't a problem on campus.
Is that what she's saying? They aren't a problem, or is she saying...
Well, that's what they're saying about her, but Professor Riley said that that's not true. She doesn't advocate for rape, and she certainly is not in any way promoting or accepting of...
She said, the professor says, none of the people who are talking about how awful Heather McDonald's ideas are on this campus have given any evidence that they can accurately summarize her ideas.
Okay.
So, again, that's just saying, all right, well, let's off with their heads. Who was it, the Queen of Hearts and Alice in Wonderland? Off with their heads.
Right. They have a quote from her here on the Bucknellian. It says, McDonald wrote that, quote, according to the Believe Survivors platform, the reason why most researcher classified rape victims don't report the rapes is because the reporting process is too anti-female and re-traumatizing. In fact, she says, most researchers classified rape victims, research classified rape victims, which is different, I guess, than the criminal system, don't report because they don't think what happened to them was serious enough to report. Another conclusion inconceivable in the case of an actual rape, she says. On race, at some point, to her recent comments about Georgetown University's handling of diversity, such as the only barriers to student success are the result of Georgetown's own diversity policies, unquote. She says those policies are problematic. So, but we've talked about this.
Does she say how they're problematic?
She probably did, but that's not in the article. But the fact is that, she says that there are individuals who feel that the rape culture exists, within our university systems, and she says it's not, it either doesn't exist or doesn't exist in the manner that people are talking about. So
is that a reason to ban her?
Right.
Because
If they disagree with her strongly, they should demonstrate and then go hear her talk.
Right. I was going to say, what form should the demonstration take? Should they disrupt her discussion in the lecture hall? Should they stand up and scream and curse and yell at her? Or should they sit outside with signs saying, we disagree with you respectfully, but we're here to hear you speak?
They should
I don't think they're going to do the latter.
They should do what I'm not going to do, simply because I go to bed at 8:30 p.m. Go to Bucknell University, Bucknell Hall, this Thursday, tomorrow, 7 p.m., to hear Heather McDonald, the Thomas W. Smith Fellow, Manhattan Institute, on her talk, The Diversity Delusion, How Race and Gender Pandering Corrupt the University.
Now, that's an interesting topic, really.
Right. Yep, absolutely. Yeah, well, if you and I didn't go to bed so darn early, we could go to this. Joe and I go to bed very early.
Well, not together, however.
Well... If you look at the clock, if you and I both look at the same clock and it says 9 p.m., we're going to bed together.
Well, I guess you're right. We're actually cashing in our chips for the day together.
Right. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. The most recent two sentences notwithstanding. Do you have any thoughts about this campus free speech topic?
Well, they label her a white nationalist, a racist, and a fascist. Come on.
Right. Well, students.
Anybody who disagree with you, these college kids really need to get with
it. Well, and here's what some students did. Now, this is according to Dr. Riley. When they went around the campus, they had volunteers who help out this speech thing out of the sociology department, this series of speeches, go up and put posters all over. Apparently, there's a wide range of accepted places where you can put a poster that summons you to whatever event you're having. After following them, going from poster to poster, putting on top of their, directly on top of their poster so you can't see it, is one calling attention to the fact that the university is inviting a racist, homophobic, rape pander to come to campus this week. And that, you know, it does have the time and date of the event, but it says who she really is, in their view. But he says it's a minority of students. He did note that.
Well, that's the same case where, the former Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, was speaking. Was it at the University of Pittsburgh? 90% of the people wanted to hear him, thought he should be allowed to speak, but 10% disrupted it so badly he couldn't speak.
Well, and that's what happened at SU when they had that speaker earlier this year.
I think the people who are afraid to hear an opposing point of view are intellectually and morally bankrupt.
Okay. Well, and they'll never be full.
I beg your pardon?
They'll never change. I guess they'll never be able to change their viewpoint unless they hear all the
viewpoints. If my kid went to college and told me that he was picketing someone who came to college, the campus, to discuss an idea he didn't like, he would be fending for himself for his college expenses.
I think you can picket, but you should go here, too. I mean, if you're certain, if they're bringing Hitler to campus, you could say the Holocaust was terrible, but you should go hear what he says so that you're well-armed in your future criticisms and that you can make sure that never happens again.
Yeah, well, I'll take my son. My son is a liberal. I don't think he'd mind me saying that.
He's
a conservative. But he went to hear all this stir down at Susquehanna over Ben Shapiro. He walked down to the campus to see what the demonstration was like, and it was very respectful and very polite. And then he went home and watched the live stream of Shapiro's talk, and he didn't find anything to be offended about.
Shapiro probably toned it down because of the protests.
So I doubt it. I don't think Ben Shapiro tones anything down, do you?
I don't know. All right, we'll take a quickie break. This is one of the, quote, other things, unquote, that I said we'd talk about. We do have some emails that relate to the impeachment, so it looks like we'll be back to that topic shortly. Or text, yeah, I'm sorry. But we will take more comers if you are interested in commenting on college campus free speech with Ain't So Free Anymore. Call us now, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com or text us at 70236. If you'd like to talk about the impeachment, which in a little bit over half an hour from now goes live coast to coast, and we'll have the link posted at wkok.com for you to listen to or watch the impeachments on CBS News View. We'll have that all set up for you at wkok.com. So if you'd like to talk about that, call us now, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com and text us at 70236.
Hey, you, it's time for Sunbury Motors to eat their remaining 2019 Ford leftovers. Choose from over 20 of the hot-selling Ford Escapes for as low as $17,585. Love compact SUVs? Sunbury Motors has the leader of the pack. The 2019 Ford 4x4 EcoSport, slashed to just $20,525. SMC would give these away, but they know you'd feel guilty. Take up to $9,000 off new 2019 Ford Edges, up to $10,000 off new Ford 2019 Fusions, and up to an amazing $12,000 off on new 2019 Ford Expeditions. That's a whole lot of amazing. Pick from over 65 new 2019 leftover F-150s with total savings up to $14,750 off MSRP on 4x4 Super Cruise. Feast on Sunbury Motors 2019 Ford leftovers by November 30th before they're all gone. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving all of Central PA for 105 years. Gobble, gobble, hey.
Imagine coming home from a long day of work and finding a flooded basement from the rain. If you're afraid to open the basement door, call the experts at ITG Basement Systems. Thousands of homeowners have trusted ITG for basement waterproofing, moisture, and humidity control. Get your free inspection today. Visit ITGBasementSystems.com. That's ITGBasementSystems.com.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, 1-800-795-9565. It is open phones. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. All of our texts relate to impeachment, but you can join that list with any topic at 70236. We'll read those. I think there's five of them. No emails pending at the moment, so email us at onthemark@wkok.com. It is open phones. What is on your mind? Mr. Paul from North Pole, Lumberland.
I had the advantage of seeing the movie Midway.
And ooh, I love it.
Which one? The new one or the old one?
The one that used the film that was recorded as it happened.
Okay. So they used some of the real Midway. You mean the new one? The one that's in theaters now?
Right.
Okay, thank you.
And one of the things that I found out that really kind of fascinated me was that when Patton got into the heart of Germany, he took the people from the city and the soldiers that guarded the concentration camps, and he showed the people what the Germans did to these people and did nothing to stop it.
What does that have to do with Midway, which was in the Pacific Theater of War?
A couple of three years earlier, right?
It was retaliation of the crimes that they committed, regardless of whether it was in Midway or any other part of the islands that belonged to the Japanese. And nobody was actually prosecuted for war crimes of what they did. So if people
in Japan, you're absolutely wrong. There were several people committed, and people were hung. Tojo was hung.
Well, yeah, you're talking about the
General
Nuremberg
Kobayashi
trial.
Was hung, huh?
You're talking about the Nuremberg trial.
No, I'm talking about the trials in Japan. You said nobody was hung for their war crimes in the Pacific Theater of War, and you're wrong. There were people hung.
Well, there was people that committed suicide because the propaganda said that the Americans were going to torture them and commit all kinds of things to them, and they didn't want it to...
Well, now you're talking about Saipan, which is where that happened.
Well, the whole thing about the war was that people had no idea as to what was going on and left it happen.
Well, people did have an idea of what was going on. I mean, there were reports all during the war about the atrocities being committed against the Jews. It was brought to the attention of President Roosevelt. It was brought to the attention of the Pope. It was brought to the attention of almost everybody, and yet nobody found a way to do something about it in the middle of the war. The Pope
well, you
was,
have the same thing in civilian life when people want to inform the people as to what is going on, and people won't let them speak.
Okay. Well, that's a good point. All right, noted. Thank you so much, Paul. Appreciate it. Say goodbye now.
Have a good one.
Okay. I guess we lost Paul. Paul fell off his rocking chair. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Not about impeachment, but go ahead and read the top text, and
okay.
Then we'll take a break.
I was going to start from the bottom, but
top.
At the top. Good morning. I can say as a farmer, we are not doing better under Trump. We are ready to file for bankruptcy. Thank you, Trump. Well, that's sad. You know, I don't think anybody should.
Boy, that's tough.
But I thought the farmers were getting subsidies.
Well, if you grow the right crop, but if you're a dairy farmer, there's no...
But that's not a trade issue there. That's just a low price of milk issue.
Well, I can't read the mind of our good farmer texter, but
we don't know what he farms.
I think what we're saying here is that, you know, the totality of what it takes to keep a farm afloat and now isn't happening, and President Trump hasn't helped that. You can say that if you're in the coal industry, that President Trump hasn't helped you, even though he had promised that he would, and the coal industry still declines. Or you could be a blue-collar worker in some of the industries that are closing down around here. And I'm going to say this. I'm not defending President Trump. I think the president gets more blame than he deserves in terms of the economy, and he certainly takes far more credit than he deserves when it comes to the economy. Lawrence's worthless statement of the day. Okay. We'll take a quick break. I'll have more of them coming up.
Oh, you're good at them. Okay.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark, 1-800-795-9565. We have an item in the news we're going to read about, the heartbeat bill pending in Harrisburg. But we got to fulfill our obligation to read texts that our good listeners sent us.
One of them yesterday, I mentioned that someone said about oversight, the Democrats were conducting oversight, and I said more like a witch hunt. And one of our writers says, my mistake, Joe, you're right. It was a Democratic witch hunt, not oversight. Then Chris, Shifty Schiff says he had irrefutable proof there was collusion, and yet we haven't seen him reveal it. Why is that? The IRS has 7 years to investigate you, one of our writers said.
Oh, when you're doing a, I said that
I think they can go back 7 years in your tax return, but I think they can go back even further if they find errors or problems.
Well, that's true. Plus, but once they do an audit, it wouldn't take 7 years. I mean, they would put enough people on it so that they could find out.
No, it wouldn't take 7 years.
Well, the president originally, when he was campaigning, said he didn't want to release him because he was under audit. Well, that audit is done. I mean, I have no factual basis for this, but it's got to be done by now. But now he just doesn't want to because he doesn't have to, and that's his prerogative.
Well, one of our writers says Trump should release his tax returns after all the members of Congress who went to D.C. middle class and came out millionaires of both parties release theirs.
Oh, I wonder if Fred Keller's going to do that.
Well, I don't think Fred's a millionaire, do you?
Not yet, but he just got there. He's certainly in the vortex, sucked into the partisan. Well,
there you go again. You're going to get us in trouble. You've got us in trouble with Senator Gorder. Now you're going to get us in trouble with Congressman Keller.
You don't think Congressman Keller is enjoying the polarized partisan vortex?
No, I know Fred well enough to know he's not enjoying that at all. I think he wants to get something done down there. He went down to conduct the people's
business.
Have you
read his tweets lately?
Yeah, well, he's dealing with the situation in front of him, which
right.
is all anybody can do.
Right. The situation is the president asked the Republicans in the House to get tough on the impeachment, and they all responded, including him.
And tomorrow we have Congressman Muser calling in, right?
Yes, he just confirmed 8:30 a.m. tomorrow morning.
So I expect
Muser.
He will be very much in line with what Congressman.
Well,
Keller
that's what
said.
I would expect of him. He is a partisan.
And the Democrats
leader.
Are not partisan; they're just benevolent, wonderful people.
And I think the Democrats are the worst people in history. Can we stipulate that?
No, they're
that?
Not. They're
but
not
listen.
The worst people. But the ones in Washington.
But Fred Keller wasn't. He started out a perfectly good leader. Look how he would never say anything disparaging about the governor other than, you know, factual elements that related to budgets and line items and abortions and vetoes and things, but wouldn't criticize and would never call names to the Democrats down there. And now he's down there. Read something while I call up his tweets.
He's got, what am I
totally
supposed to read? There's nothing on the screen.
Oh, there's nothing there. Email
View all
us,
inbox
folks.
Messages before or below or filter on a range search.
3-minute limit is for when there is, here we go, Congressman Keller. Here's his
you
tweets.
You had it earlier.
His most recent tweet, Congressman Keller, let me hit refresh here because he literally just sent one out. Tweets. There we go. Let's see. Check out the newest installment of the D.C. Dispatch to hear what I worked on in Washington this week. Something about trade, apprenticeship week, Farm Bureau. Hold on. Speaker at the fourth one down is at Speaker Pelosi's impeachment czar. Representative Adam Schiff is starting public impeachment department tomorrow. My thoughts on the continuation of this sham process. And then he has
well,
attached.
That was covered in the news release
right.
that we read
That's
earlier.
That's what he has attached to
okay.
that then. Let's see. We passed down from then something from Veterans Day, then the next one. Speaker Pelosi's impeachment process has been and always will be a sham. Even this week, impeachment czar Adam Schiff will continue to deny President Trump due process and deny the minority party subpoena power. Enough is enough.
All right. Now, he didn't call either of those people any names. He's talking about the process, not the people.
Well, I know, but it's partisan baloney.
Well, isn't what Adam Schiff's doing partisan baloney?
Perhaps, but that doesn't mean that Fred
Keller
should...
Oh, so Democratic partisan baloney is better than Republican partisan baloney.
You're not getting my point, Joe. Take the beans out of your...
I am. It's right on the top of your head. I see it clearly.
I expect Congressman Keller to be above this. He's lowering himself to their level. Congressman Schiff is the lowest human on earth. I'll stipulate that. There's no reason Fred Keller has to get down there with him just
to
criticize him.
Well, he didn't. He's not criticizing him. He's criticizing the process.
Right. It's partisan baloney. You know that. Don't argue.
I do
not
believe it's partisan baloney.
All right. On the topic of free speech on campus.
What we have here is a failure and or refusal to communicate.
All right. So back to Congressman Keller. So, yes, we have a confirmation on Congressman Muser.
All right, but here's the thing. Congressman Keller has an entirely different job now. You're basing your opinion of him on the job he once did. He now has a new job. Mm-hmm. It carries new responsibilities, new sets of imperatives that have to be dealt with.
Right, and a new
and
leader.
And he's dealing with them. You know, obviously he's going to stick up for his party and for his party's president.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not unusual. The Democrats do the same thing. Look at all the Nancy Pelosi quotes about when they were trying to impeach Bill Clinton. You know, oh, it's a witch hunt. It's terrible. It's awful. It's a Republican partisan hack job.
I don't even remember that.
Well, there you can find the quotes quite easily if you care to look for them. And she was defending her president. Does that make her a partisan baloney or whatever it was you called everybody?
No, it makes her perfectly normal in Washington. But I always expected when Congressman Keller got to Washington, he wouldn't act perfectly normal down there.
He wouldn't act perfectly normal? Or
no,
he would?
The way they do. He would act the way he's acted, which has been a real maverick in Harrisburg.
But I
when he got
to you,
Washington. Okay, well, I don't see any evidence of it.
He's still trying to get the people's business done. He's the list of
That's
things
That's just
he's...
a Republican line. Oh, we got to get this trade thing.
But we do. And why won't Nancy Pelosi bring that up for a vote? Let it rise or fall on its own, but bring it up.
All right, folks. Let's put it to a poll.
Well, we have one call coming
calls.
In, another one on the line.
1-800-795-9565. If you agree that Congressman Keller has been sucked into the vortex and is now participating in the partisan divide, 1-800-795-9565. If you agree that
What if you don't agree? Are you allowed to call the number two?
If you
two,
agree
or you
with me that it's a shame we lost our congressman from our area, he used to be an objective, different kind of guy, call us now. We'll start with Buzz. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
I was just listening quickly, and Congressman Keller does not have a new job. He has the same job with different responsibilities. His responsibilities are to represent the people of his district, not his party. I just wanted to make that clear. It's the same job, and it seems that he's doing this one even worse than he did the one before. So go ahead, Joe.
The overwhelming majority of his constituents are Republicans. They voted for him, so they obviously think the job he's doing is a good one.
Well, Buzz does not accept that because Buzz is right.
No, if you're not of his party, I think you probably would find much to disagree with Congressman Keller, and that's natural. But that doesn't mean he's doing a bad job of representing his district. He might not be doing the job you want him to do, but he's doing the job where a lot of people want him to do it, or they wouldn't have put him in.
Anybody that's kissing the you-know-what of the president like he's been doing is not representing
well,
the people.
And I think, quite frankly, even as a Republican in Harrisburg, when it came to pro-life issues and minimum wage issues and these kind of things, I always had just a tremendous amount of respect for Fred Keller and his opinions on these and his objectivity at discussing the issues and, you know, looking at different things in a really scientific and reading all the materials. The stuff he's doing now is just partisan hackery. It's too bad.
I think that's what we're so surprised about. He was very supportive of this area, and even as a Democrat, we worked with him on a couple of different issues, like moms, and Fred was a great guy and a good listener. We didn't always agree with him, but he always listened to it, and now he's just kind of got his nose up in the air waiting to see what the next smell is going to be and how he's going to get in on it. So that's all I got, guys.
Thank you. You sat down with Fred Keller and wanted to talk to him about why you think the president should be impeached, I guarantee you he would listen to
you.
Well,
we will. We'll have that conversation.
He won't necessarily agree with you. I mean, too many people equate with my congressman's not doing the job because he doesn't do what I want him to do. Well, he has more than one person to consider.
I would like him to be above the fray like he used to be. Al, you're on the mark. Thanks for waiting.
I believe last time I looked, Keller was elected by the people of this district.
All right, no, I didn't say he took office illegally. I'm just, it's, you see, neither Joe nor you are seeing, I'm not explaining well enough, I will put it that way. I'm not smart enough to explain well enough that Fred has changed. He never used to be a partisan leader.
He's always been a conservative.
Right, no argument there, but he didn't go down to Harrisburg and say, Governor Wolf is and his shifty assistant, what's the, not Stack, the guy, his lieutenant governor.
Fetterman?
Yes, his shifty Fetterman are down there, you name calling and saying that, you know, this DEP, this pipeline approval was a sham. He said, okay, well, if the president, you know, he said, well, if the governor didn't do something right, let's look at it. He was, anyway, we'll take it up with Fred later. What's your view on this, Al?
Anyway, what I called mainly about was I met a guy Sunday morning that gave Representative Keller a letter that he wanted the president to get a hold of. And he promised that he would give this letter to the president. And what's in this letter is he's going to start alphabetically. He wants, the guy that gave him the letter wants Keller to give Trump this letter, and then Trump to start alphabetically. And anybody that's Democrat, independent, or Republican in Congress, investigate everybody alphabetically. Anybody wants to accuse somebody else of something else, they ought to be open to investigation themselves. This letter was given to Keller to be given to Trump, and the guy knows Keller very well, and he was told that Keller gave Trump the letter.
Well, I would have thrown that letter in the trash, because not everybody should be investigated unless there's some evidence they've done something.
Well, if anybody wants to accuse anybody, they ought to be open to investigation themselves. Let the person that's pure throw the first stone. That's the way I looked at that letter. And then another one was a Lincoln quote that our universities are raising the leaders of the day. And when the conservatives left the universities in the late 60s, early 70s, the libertarians took over the
libertarians. You mean liberals, libertarians.
Yeah, not the libertarians, but the left took over the campuses, and that's what we have. That's what we're going to have for leaders, and it's being quite obvious.
And this is a quote from Abraham Lincoln. You started off by saying,
"Yeah, Abraham Lincoln said yes." That
said what?
The products of our universities will be the leaders of tomorrow, and what they're being taught in the universities are what we're going to end up with.
All right. Well, that's all true. He was right once again. All right. Yes. Thank you, Al. Thank you so much.
Yep, bye.
Appreciate the call. Joe, read that email. That'll shut me up once and for all.
Okay. Fred will do the job that those who elected him want him to do. That's one of our emailers. Rob says...
Don't read that one. 1-800-SNOOP. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We will be right back. 1-800-795-9565.
Hey, you, it's time for Sunbury Motors to eat their remaining 2019 Ford leftovers. Choose from over 20 of the hot-selling Ford Escapes for as low as $17,585. Love compact SUVs? Sunbury Motors has the leader of the pack. The 2019 Ford 4x4 EcoSport, slashed to just $20,525. SMC would give these away, but they know you'd feel guilty. Take up to $9,000 off new 2019 Ford Edges, up to $10,000 off new Ford 2019 Fusions, and up to an amazing $12,000 off on new 2019 Ford Expeditions. That's a whole lot of amazing. Pick from over 65 new 2019 leftover F-150s with total savings up to $14,750 off MSRP on 4x4 Super Cruise. Feast on Sunbury Motors 2019 Ford leftovers by November 30th before they're all gone. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving all of Central PA for 105 years. Gobble, gobble, hey.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Great bumper music.
Bump, bump.
Who is it? Don't know. Okay. Let's see. 1-800-795-9565. We're wrapping up open phones. I had a couple of remarks about Congressman Keller. We'll take more response to that. We had, we talked about the impeachment, and what else did we talk about?
Well, I think
today?
That you, what
Heather
you're,
McDonald?
What you're not doing is fairly and objectively looking at Congressman Keller and what his responsibilities are now. I mean, if you're saying, yes, his job is to represent the people, I agree with Buzz that that's his job. It hasn't changed. But the circumstances of the job have certainly changed, and there's a big difference between being a congressman and a state representative, big difference.
All right, so you should participate in the partisan rhetoric and things that don't contribute to getting things done.
Well, okay. I think, but you also can be a maverick and try to push through things that you feel are important, and I'm sure Representative Keller will do exactly that. He did it in Harrisburg. He'll do it there. And Fred, one thing about Fred Keller, he does his homework. If you think you're going to catch him unprepared, you are sadly mistaken.
I have no intention of catching him unprepared. Oh, boy.
Well, I mean, he researches. He doesn't just shoot from the hip like so many politicians do.
And all right, so here's his latest tweet.
You ask him a question, he doesn't know an answer. He'll tell you, I don't know, but I'll find out.
This is his latest tweet.
All right.
This drives the point home. The USMCA will create more balanced reciprocal trade that supports the high-paying jobs for Americans. Estimates say the USMCA will create between 176,000 and 589,000 new American jobs. Hashtag USMCA now. Now, how about that?
Oh, that's really partisan. That's horrible. He wants jobs for Americans.
How about the next one? This
is
an hour ago.
Wait a second. You made it sound like that was some damning comment he made.
Here's the next one. Read this, or I'll read this.
Well, you have to, because I don't have your device.
Congressman Keller, let's see. This week is National Apprenticeship Week, and it was wonderful to hear last week what Williams Energy is doing in the 12th District to engage in job training and community support.
Oh, that's terrible. Oh, let's string him up for that one.
All right. Well, here's 117. Hours ago. Congratulations to the Farm Bureau on celebrating their centennial today. Your commitment to advocacy for our nation's agriculture industry has been appreciated by farmers in the 12th District. See? They're all
these are awful partisan hackeries, as you call them.
Then 20 hours ago, he tweeted out the news release that we read verbatim here. 21 hours ago, we passed down from one generation to another what our great republic stands for, what our flag stands for, and what our veterans have done for us, unquote. And thank you, Boy Scouts, observing Veterans Day with a flag retirement ceremony.
Well, he should be shot for commending
the
Boy Scouts.
He's retweeting a Daily Item tweet.
Okay.
Then, 23 hours ago, Speaker Pelosi's impeachment process has been and always will be a sham. Even this week, impeachment czar Adam Schiff will continue to deny President Donald Trump.
You read that earlier, and it's the same thing. He's not going after them. He's going after the process. Big difference.
Cindy, you're on the mark.
Here's something I don't understand. I recall during the Democrat convention for the last election that a man whose son had died in the war commented harshly against Mr. Trump, and Mr. Trump responded. And people were really angry with Mr. Trump and ate him alive that you shouldn't be trash-talking veterans and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And this man, who's... So here's what I don't get. If that's true, if that is true that you can't criticize someone in that standing, then where does Mrs. Clinton and Joy Behar get off trashing Mrs. Gabbard? Calling her a useful idiot and a Russian operative, why is that acceptable to the same people who ate Trump alive when he criticized that father?
Well, it's a double standard. If you're a liberal, you get to do what you want, but nobody else can say what they want, and you're always in the right because you have the moral high ground. Just ask them.
But apparently not. You're not. this is what I find astounding. I don't see how you can, they say people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. If you think that behavior was unacceptable by Trump, then why would it be acceptable to do the very same thing yourself? It's ridiculous. And it just highlights the absurdity of this entire political conversation, in my opinion.
Oh, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Yep, that's it.
It's just become foolishness. And what bothers me the most is how unproductive all of this is. It's the fields are fallow, but all the workers are standing up against the fence row throwing old apples at each other. It is just so unproductive. Now, one side of me who thinks we have plenty and too much, frankly, government, is happy that they're getting nothing done, right? And I'm sorry that a single person is drawing so much fire in order to make that be the case. That should not have to be the case. But on the other side, I don't think that you should be behaving in a way that you criticized other people for behaving. If you think that's wrong, it remains wrong for you to do it as well. And, you know, I plan to vote for Gabbard in the primary. I've registered Democrat, and I'll be writing her in.
Good.
So, won't she be on the ballot?
Well, she might not be, the
I
way things
know.
Go.
Oh, okay. You know, this is Pennsylvania, where the chicanery knows no end, right? They pushed several candidates off the ballot historically, and I wouldn't be surprised if they don't do it to her as well.
Well, let's hope not. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Cindy. Appreciate the call. Thank you, everybody who participated in today's show. U.S. Congressman Dan Muser is going to be on the news line tomorrow at 8:30, and then we'll enjoy open phones. We'll have our first day of impeachment testimony to talk about. This is News Radio 1070 WDKOK Sunbury.